Mercy unto you, peace and love be multiplied. Good evening.
Evening.
We're in chapter number 8 of the book of Romans, as you recall. And on last week, we began to just open for a moment this marvelous passage of Scripture. I told you that it was the brightest star in a starlit night. And if the Word of God were a supper prepared by the Lord God Himself, then this would surely be one of the desserts on the table. All of us have used this verse, some of us wrongfully, and I don't doubt but what I've used it wrongfully from time to time. I've always been able to say to everyone else, you ought to know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And then when I had to use it on me, I didn't smile about it. Walk the course that God set before you, and whether you can enjoy it or not, and you can't enjoy every step along the way in the providence of God. Anyone that tells you that just lied to you. I don't enjoy pain. I don't enjoy sorrow. I don't enjoy the times of tribulation and heartaches that either myself or others have to go through that I love. Those things just are not enjoyable. I never enjoyed my daddy taking me to the basement. Because when he said, Larry, let's go to the basement, I knew that pain was on the way. It was tough to walk through those times. And I'll never remember any time I ever said to Daddy, after he'd beat the devil out of me, Daddy, I appreciate that. I thank you for doing that. Huh? Now, when I grew up, more than one time I hugged my daddy's neck. And I said, Dad, I thank you. I appreciate the trips to the basement. And when you come along a little way down the road and look back and see the steps that God's taken you through, painful though they were for a time, and trying though they were for a time, you look back at those times and you say, Lord, I thank you. I'm so grateful that you allowed me to walk through that valley. I appreciate what you showed me in that valley. There are just so many things and so many times that we look back now and say, thank you, Lord. But in the middle of those times, they were hard to take. An aspirin didn't cure it. A visit to the doctor didn't help. It was time on our knees that helped us to walk through those valleys. Look again at this verse with me, if you will. And we know, I appreciate God putting it in the book that way. We know we're not jesting about this thing. We're not wondering about this thing. This is something that Paul, he uses the word reckon in other places. And here's something that Paul has reckoned out and said, we know that all things work together for good. We talked about that last week, those all things and we knowing and those things working together. But now watch these words. Little preposition beginning this remainder of the verse. To them that love God. Qualifies it, doesn't it? You see, things don't work together for good to those that don't love the Lord. The sinner on the street can go through what you go through and he'll just get angry at God and curse God and in many cases die. And when we get through the thing, we thank the Lord and say, thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to walk through this valley and allowing me to see the hand that's led me across the way. Hallelujah. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now tonight I want to digress a bit and just give you some reasons why I am convinced that things work together for good for God's people. First of all, I want you to know that our God is a sovereign God. One more time, we must not forget that the affairs of our life are not happenstance. When you came into the household of faith, even before you came into the household of faith, according to the last verse in Hebrews chapter number 1, God's angels were watching over you. God has made them ministering spirits. That's what that verse says. God has made them ministering spirits to those who are to be heirs of salvation. You need to look that verse up and read it, because that's before God saved you. God's angels were watching over you. Now, because that is so, and I'm going to tell you without a shadow of a doubt, it is so. God's angels watching over you, and the affairs of your life, the providence of your days, were leading you unto the point where God was going to meet you at the well. Now, you don't know how all that happened, and I don't know how all that happened. I wouldn't even begin to try to tell you how all that happens. But I know God does it, and I know God's in control of the providence of our days. And because He is, He leads us to the place. You see, God knew the place, and God knew the time when He was going to save you by His grace. And He brought you to that place. How many of you will agree with me that God brought that woman to the well that day? That day. Did you hear that? He brought her to the place and He brought her to the time. Before they ever met, our Lord had said to His disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. In other words, I have a date that I'm going to make. And He met this woman at the well. Now, a lot of folks would say that's happenstance. Not on your life. Not today, not tomorrow, not next week or ever. That is not happenstance. So God's sovereign. Our God is the sovereign maker. In Jeremiah chapter number 32, down about verse number 38, the scripture says, they shall be my people. Now listen carefully. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Now that's quite a statement. You see, God puts Himself on the line where that's concerned. And He specifically states that He's going to be their God, and they're going to be His people. That also pertains to you and to me. So if He's going to be our God and we're going to be His people, then He has a responsibility to take care of me. And if He's going to take care of me, that means that every aspect of my life, God is involved therein. Amen. So He's caring for me on a daily basis. Psalm chapter 50, verse number 7, I am God, even thy God. There it is again, the proof that He is the God of His people. These, by the way, are some of the most precious words in your Bible. To say that He's my God and I'm His child. To say that He's the shepherd and I'm the sheep. To say that He's the potter and I'm the clay. All of those picture what God is doing in our lives. He's shepherding the sheep. He's molding the clay. He's caring for us along the way. I want to begin by saying to you tonight, to say to you that God is like a physician in our lives. Now, a physician goes to school and he studies, but he doesn't study how to please the patient. He studies how to cure the patient. God Almighty is not so much interested in pleasing you as He is in curing you from your sin. Everything that happens to me, I promise you, I have not always been pleased. You haven't either. I'd say that you can put down a few things even today that you haven't necessarily been pleased with. But God has brought you to this point. He brought you through that to bring you here. Did you hear that? And the great physician is on hand to do the work that He and He alone can do. And the work that He does may be painful. Any of you ever had surgery? Now let me ask you something. Did you enjoy that? Oh no. I promise you, when the painkiller wore off, you begin to understand what pain was one more time. I had bilateral hernia surgery some years ago. They came to get me with the little wheelchair. And I said, oh, that's all right. I can walk out. That's my wife. She's standing, and she's laughing when I'm saying this. And I told the girl, I said, I can walk out of here. I'll be fine. No, you better get in this wheelchair. That's the rules. You need to ride out of here. So I rode out to the outside door, and I said, I can handle it from here. And I walked to the car, got in the car. I got about halfway home. Whew. And lo and behold, those little critters that cause pain got all over me. I thought, boy, I've got this thing whipped, and I got in that car. I got her made. I'll be out doing what I need to do tomorrow. That didn't work that way. I didn't enjoy it. And you'll find times in your life where God brings things in your days that you won't necessarily enjoy. But when you look back at it, you'll have to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for being the great physician. Thank you that you've done all that you have in my life. It means the relationship is not only that of a physician, but that of a father. Can you jump in the believe this little circle with me for a moment and realize when God brings you into the house? By the way, let me just say it this way. God was your father before you ever were. How about that? Absolutely. I mean, there's a sense in which I was Benny's dad before Benny ever got here. And before you and I ever came into the household of faith, God was our father. I'll be a father unto you, He declares. Because He is a father, He cares for us like a father. No father ever sought the hurt of his child, but the good of his child. Now we're beginning to sew it up a little bit. All things work how? Together for good. What does a father seek for his children? He seeks the good of his children. We want our children to succeed. We want our children to do well in life. When we were praying tonight, I was praying for my great-grandchildren and for those that will come on behind them, that they might be able to enjoy what I've enjoyed in this country in my lifetime. And I'm so fearful that unless God works a miracle, they will not be able to do that. I'm fearful that if we live another few years, we're not going to be able to do that. I'm convinced that it'll never be like it was. There'll be liberties gone, there'll be freedoms gone, and they left without us batting an eye because they told us we was going to die if we didn't do it. Now, I have news for you. You're not going to die till God's time. That's just the way it is. Now you say, well, what if I step out in front of a train? Well, hey, you'll be suffering a long time till God's ready to call you home. Oh, yeah, don't you think a diesel train can take your life if God does your number's not up and God hadn't punched it? You can suffer a long time going on into the end of it. Did you hear me? But God Almighty has the keys of death and hell and the grave. Book of Job declares plainly that you're not going to pass by your appointed time. You'll meet that appointment. Every one of us have an appointment that we're going to keep. You may miss a lot of others, but you're going to keep the appointment that God gives you. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, seeks our good. Though it does hurt, though the correction does smart for a while. That's an old English word which means it do hurt. In Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse number 5, as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord chasteneth thee. Not for our destruction, but for our development. Don't ever forget that. The things that God does, we should recognize they're not being done to us, but they're being done for us. One of the things that we had to instruct parents about during the days of the school was that when we had to chasten a child, we weren't doing something to the child, we were doing something for the child. And once they realized that, then their argument ceased. Well, they're doing that for my child, not to my child. And that's where we get things all fouled up where we're concerned. We think God's doing these things to us when God is doing these things for us. So the afflictions and the trials and the things that we don't necessarily like, it is the vinegar on your oatmeal. You don't like it. Well, believe it or not, vinegar's good for you. And oatmeal's good for you. And if God chooses to give you both at the same time, then that's God's choice. The times of our lives are troublesome. However, they have a great reward. I wonder, you wouldn't believe that, looking at me in my mild manner and all of the courteous things that I do and am. You'd never look at me and think that's the meanest fellow to ever walk God's green earth. But you ask my wife, if God hadn't saved me and God hadn't cleaned me up and God hadn't, hey, listen, but if you look at yourself, the same thing's true of you. You see, every one of us have a wicked streak in us. It stretches way down yonder beyond mean. It's wicked. And because of that, if God Almighty didn't change us, if the work of the Holy Ghost within us didn't make the difference, then every last one of us would wind up in hell a long time ago. But the Father, I can't leave this without saying this. The prodigal's father. Think of that man for just a moment. Now, this is not a parable. You get that in your head. This is not a parable. Jesus has given us an account of something that really happened. And this boy leaves home. And the manner in which this thing was carried out, when a child would leave home, the daddy would take a fatling calf or a sheep, if he had no cattle, and he would put it up and begin to feed it and fatten it up for the day that boy came home, because he's expecting the boy to return. And like a daddy who's concerned for his son, every day he would go to feed the calf and water the calf and make sure the calf was well, because that was going to be the means of celebration when that boy returned. Do you suppose the trip after trip after trip that he made to feed and to water that calf, do you suppose that he finally got weary in doing so? Oh, no. No, because he's daddy. And he's expecting something great to happen. He's expecting that boy to come home. And every day he makes the trip from the house to the stable, he looked out yonder to see if maybe this is the day that he's coming home. And one day he saw his boy. Now look at how daddy responds. Daddy runs to him. Scripture said he ran to him and he fell upon him. No doubt to begin with, that boy thought, man, he's going to kill me right here. He fell on me, he's going to kill me. But instead of a sword, it was a kiss. And while that boy's trying to talk and make his confession, daddy wasn't even listening to the confession. You know why? Because his boy's home. He was concerned about that boy. And he's not listening to the boy's confession. He's saying to the servant, get everything he needs to put him back in the place of sonship again. He wanted to be a servant. No, no, no. Daddy's not going to make his boy a servant. No, sir. This is his son. My son, which was lost, is found. Hallelujah. Our Lord is a father to us. He's a physician and he is a father. Thirdly, it means as well that he's a husband. You see, the church is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord is the husband. Paul draws this together for us in the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians. And he gives us the analogy of the marital bond, the husband and the wife being like the Lord and His church. And the husband is to love his wife even as his own flesh. And no man ever yet hateth his flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it even as the Lord his church. You see the parallel? So our Lord is the husband. Now what does the husband seek for his wife? The best for her. Right? Yes. He loves her and he seeks the best for her. Our Lord, in every case, seeks the best for us. And can I mention the very fact that the husband loves the wife even as himself? Has that ever sunk into your brain that the Lord loves us as he loves himself? That the love that he has for us as a husband for his wife means that the greatest of care is there for us. Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder that things work out for good to we who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? As a husband, he sees to it that everything is for her best. And then I move to this fourth thought and I'll be finished. Listen, he is also our friend. Hallelujah. St. Augustine said, a friend is half of me. Now that's a great statement. Great saint of God. A friend is half of me. Now here's the reality of that. The scripture tells us that a friend sticketh closer than a brother. In the Song of Solomon, chapter number 5, she introduces, and you can look at that text, and if you can read it without saying that she's not referring to the Lord, that this doesn't refer to the Lord, she's speaking of her lover. But it is so exemplary of the Lord himself. And finally she says, he's my friend. A friend will always be a friend. But there are fair weather friends. We've all had those. In the time of trouble, those fair weather friends find a place to hide. Their phone doesn't ring. You can't text them. You can't send them a letter in the mail. They're just not there. When the sun's shining on you, though, hey, they're right there in your backyard all the time. Having a good time. Hello? Yeah. But let the sun go down. And let problems arise in your life. And let things begin to happen that are adverse to the way they think. And I promise you, they won't be there. But is it so or is it not? That he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now that's a great statement. That means that when the clouds arise on my horizon, he's still there. That means when the blackest and darkest of nights are upon me, then he is still there. The stars shine in my direction when the sun goes down. I have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Is it any wonder that things work out for our benefit and for his glory? Could there be a thought whatsoever that surely, surely it can't be so when he is all of these and more, and we'll pick up some more at another time. But carefully now, think with me, and I'm finished. If our Lord is all these things plus more, then surely he cares for us. Simon Peter said, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. That word careth is a beautiful word. It's the word that a nurse would do. It's the act of nursing and cherishing the child. And so casting all your cares, for he's nursing you. He's taking care of you. He careth for you. I ask you tonight, no one here but us and God, listen carefully. Is he your friend? Is he your husband? Is he your physician? Let me just ask you this, is he your God? Is this the God in this verse, is that the God that you know? Now if you know another, none of this is true. None of this is true. And if you're sitting in this building tonight and you're saying, what are you saying? It's just not so, because let me just tell you something. Maybe you need to get acquainted with the right God. Now I can tell you tonight, and those of you that know me can say, He's not speaking off the bottom of his feet. He's speaking from experience. I'm telling you, God, the God of glory, it works everything together for your benefit and for His glory. My Father, because you are the great physician, because you are our Father, because you are our husband and our friend, thank you that you seek our good, the best for us. Though it may not be what the world would think is good, yet you've chosen this for us. And because of that, it's the best. And it's your design. Help us then to resign ourselves to this very truth, that you are truly seeking the best for us. Every day of our life, every happenstance that comes along, every time and every place is all by your design. Thank you that that's so. And may we somehow bring ourselves to believe it without doubt, knowing that it's so. As Paul has said, we know, surely we could know. Let it be so. In the name of our Father, in the name of His Son, by the power of the Holy Ghost, let it be so. Amen.